Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley, Nick Fraser in for Michelle Knezovic. How you guys doing? How's everybody doing this morning? Got your Greek non-fat vanilla yogurt, Vingan? How's that? How's that treating you, buddy?
It's good.
Did you do the granola in it today?
Yes, is in it today.
You went early because yesterday it was like mid-show.
Well, I didn't eat breakfast before I left today, which I did yesterday. That's a little bit of a rush
really?
This morning.
You ate breakfast before the show yesterday?
Just a bowl of cereal.
Okay.
I'm a cereal winner. Don't you know that?
Yeah. Well, yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, how are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, we're just bebopping along. Just another day in paradise.
That's
right.
Yeah, you like that, Adam?
That's clever.
I do like that. Bebop along. Speaking of that, the Nuggets are bebopping along to the finals. First time franchise
ever.
History, the Denver Nuggets are in the NBA Finals. It was actually a great – I will say, and I know it's a joke, and I kind of joked about this on Twitter, like fantastic, one of the best swept teams ever, the Los Angeles Lakers. But I will say, for a four-game sweep, that was actually a very entertaining series. I mean, every game was good, you know. So sometimes you get like seven-game series where it's like six blowouts and one good game. This was a sweep with a bunch of good games, but ultimately the Nuggets are just flat out better than the Lakers, and on they move, I think, to take on the Miami Heat, who can make that official tonight. But I'm looking at LeBron right now, and you know, I've got about 0.3% of a chance that he actually retires. He threw out the retirement, possibility last night. I don't buy that for a minute. Vingan?
No, I don't either. And we were talking about this before the show because it's rare that a LeBron James team gets swept out of the playoffs. It's only the third time in his career that it's happened. And the first time it's happened, not in the NBA Finals. It happened in the 2007 NBA Finals, very early in his career, when the Cavaliers were swept by the Spurs. And then we found out it was the 2018 finals, right? Against the Warriors back when he was with the Cavs again the second time around. So the first time in a non-final series in his career that LeBron has been swept out of the playoffs. But I mean, how many playoff series has LeBron James played over his career? So three out of however many is impressive anyway.
But the MJ truthers. You know the MJ truthers. MJ never got swept in a conference final. I promise you. I promise you right now. You can find it on the internet right now.
I know how you feel about Michael Jordan. Well, we don't have to get
I
into
don't
that.
Have, I,
We'd be here all morning.
Michael Jordan is, I'd say, one of the two best players ever. I mean, that's pretty good respect, right?
Yes.
I mean, I kind of drift toward LeBron in that discussion. But, you know, people who want to mythologize Michael Jordan like he never missed a clutch shot or lost a series or lost a game, that's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like Brady. It's like, you know, Tom Brady's the GOAT, but he also wasn't perfect. People want to remember him as perfect. That's my only issue,
I can just
Adam.
Imagine you sitting down with your kids and forcing them to watch old Pistons-Bulls games.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I mean.
See? Michael Jordan isn't as great as everybody makes him out to be.
I mean, there's plenty of fodder. I mean, you know, he was 1-3 against the Pistons in the playoffs, of course.
There you go.
You know. So there's plenty of examples I can show them. No, but LeBron, great run for that team. I think it was, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of people were talking Celtics-Lakers going into the conference finals, and I definitely thought the Celtics would be there. I liked the Nuggets. The Nuggets have been the best team all year, and they are again. I am excited about Nuggets-Heat. I think this is a real, like, if you love basketball or not test. I think there's a lot of people who just wanted like the tradition and the, you know, Lakers Celtics crap to come back. It would have been better. Like, it's flat out better basketball to have the Nuggets in the finals for sure. The way the Miami Heat are playing, I mean, hey man, they are an amazing team. The Miami Heat, the story of what they've done, Spoelstra, Riley, and the role players they've found to do really, really good things. And then obviously Jimmy Butler has just been astounding. I'm excited for Nuggets Heat. What about you?
I saw a tweet yesterday that Pat Riley, if the Heat make the final, which we assume they will, he will, as either as a player, a coach, or as an executive, will have been part of a quarter of all NBA finals in history.
That's absurd.
That is absurd. I mean, I'm excited for it too, just because, as you said, I like unique matchups. Not that I wouldn't have watched Lakers-Celtics. A lot of people would have watched Lakers-Celtics, but I like those obscure, for lack of a better term, championship series. I know the Heat have been there before with LeBron, and as you said, this is Denver's first trip to the NBA Finals. What I'm interested in is if the Heat finish off the Celtics tonight, are we going to wait a week and a half for the NBA Finals to start, or do you think there's any consideration to moving up the final?
I know there's an answer to that. I know that if they do win, I do think the NBA loses some money. They have to pay back some money to the network on that. Which, again, by the way, if that's the case, the NBA is fixed truthers. I've been talking a lot about truthers on this segment. The NBA is fixed truthers are taking a hit on that one because that's a lot of money lost. Not just paying back the networks, but just all these games that, you know, could be happening right now and could be inventory for the NBA.
I just wonder.
So that's a good question. They should move it up.
I just wonder if, you know, if you had Celtics-Lakers, if the roles were reversed, if the Lakers swept the Nuggets and the Celtics swept the Heat, you could easily fill a week and a half of preview content with Lakers-Celtics. People would enjoy that because it's the two marquee franchises in the NBA.
That's a fair point.
I feel like if you have Denver and Miami, which, as you said, is more of like a basketball sicko NBA Finals.
Let's watch some Kiki Vandeweghe highlights.
Right. How much preview content can you come up with that can hold people's attention for more than a week?
I mean, I don't even think that the other way would really hold their attention. But you're right. There's plenty of fodder. There's plenty of fodder. Shoot, go back and watch the doc on Celtics Lakers in the 80s. It's really good.
Speaking of Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony retiring yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I thought he'd already retired. Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, oh.
It's interesting when a player who hasn't been playing for a while just officially retires. Like, was Carmelo Anthony trying to come back? Right. Or is he just like, eh, might as well.
I'll just make it official.
Yes.
Like someone.
Is he a Hall of Famer to you, Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, because
he's fantastic scorer.
Because of what he did with USA Basketball, yes. I mean, he was their best player in 12 in London. He was the best player on the team. So, yeah, because of that, yes. Tremendous scorer. Nothing close to a championship, but I would say, yeah.
Closest he got was but a conference I still, there's final still with a the pause. Nuggets, I think.
Did, right? they get, did they even get that far?
I think one time they got to the conference final, maybe 2009, 2010.
But I still had to pause a little bit there, but yeah.
No, you had to think about it.
If you'd like to get involved in the discussion, make sure you join us on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're here in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And Adam, on the other side of the postseason that's advancing deep, Florida and Miami. Let's see. We had Florida Atlantic. We had the Canes. We got the Florida Panthers. We got the Miami Heat. These people down there need to enjoy this, and I mean, this is like Boston's run from a few years ago. Like every freaking team is in the finals; it's incredible. But Florida wins 1-0. The Carolina Hurricane sticks are destroyed going into the locker room, and that one's academic too, basically.
My question entering the postseason for the Hurricanes was: would they have enough firepower to get past, you know, the top teams in the NHL? And you know, because they lost Andre Svechnikov before the playoffs,
huge loss.
They only had Max Pacioretty for 5 games because he tore his Achilles tendon in the summer. Came back, played 5 games, then re-injured it, and they also lost Teuvo Teravainen for a series and a half when he broke his hand. But they scored. I think they averaged almost 5 goals per game in their 5-game series win against the New Jersey Devils, but they have a total of 3 goals in 3 games against the Florida Panthers. Sergei Bobrovsky writing a brilliant redemption story.
How about that?
The guy has won, I believe, 2 Vezina trophies, but, you know, as the highest paid goalie in the league, you know, wasn't even starting the playoffs for the Panthers. When they went on their stretch run to actually make the playoffs, they went 6-1-1 over their final 8 games. He did not start a single game. And he didn't start at the start of the playoffs against Boston. I think he came in game 3 or 4 against Boston. But 10-1 since in his past 11 starts for the Florida Panthers. You know, good for him. You know, I've really enjoyed the story of the Florida Panthers. I mean, Matthew,
it's amazing.
I mean, Paul Maurice with the line of the night last night, and because they're up 3-0, they can have this sort of levity. Sasha Barkov was injured at one point in the game and did not come back, and then was asked about it, and then Maurice was asked about it after the game, like what's the status, where was he, and he said, oh, it's okay, he like went to a bar mitzvah or something like that. you know Paul Maurice. You know, I really enjoyed when I was covering the Predators. Him in the conference. I mean, in the division with the Jets. Just he's a reporter's dream.
Remember that series? It was like we had Laviolette, and then the Jets reporters have Maurice. But we all have wow, man. There's a huge difference between the Lavi pressers and the Maurice pressers.
Yes.
Who has fun.
You feel like you learn something when you talk to Maurice. But yeah, it seems academic at this point. Only four teams in NHL history have ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Hurricanes at least get one out of this series. But, I mean, I think the Stanley Cup final is headed to Florida.
Yes. And on the diamond, just want to make mention of a few things. First of all, Tennessee softball is a national championship contender, super regional with Texas this weekend. And they are a dominant team, another dominant team for that program. Tennessee baseball today should be about, let's see, probably around 12:30 or 1 or so on the SEC Network playing Texas A&M, 7 seed in the SEC baseball tournament. Tennessee has to win that game at least and probably has to beat Arkansas tomorrow, I think, to host in the first, for a regional NCAA tournament. Maybe one win gets them in as a host, but I think they probably need that really valuable win against Arkansas to get that done. They are playing a lot better. I think they're a national championship contender, and so is Vanderbilt, which has a bye and does not play until tomorrow. And this is the proper use of bye. It's a tournament. It's a bracket. So it is a bye. Vanderbilt has a bye tomorrow and plays the late game tomorrow, the winner of Auburn, Missouri. But SEC baseball getting cranked up. It's always fascinating, SEC tournament. Do you want to win or not? Like Vanderbilt, I can make the case, head home and don't waste your pitching at all. Even if you're – I mean, Vanderbilt, I think, is going to host for a super regional. I wouldn't worry too much about this SEC tournament. Tennessee, they got work to do and they have to win. So, yeah, it's always interesting, this tournament, you know, before the real tournament that really matters, what your approach is. So that'll be interesting.
A lot going on.
And there is a lot going on. And guess what else is going on? Tennessee Titans today, they have an open OTA. They had OTAs yesterday. We talk about that and some of the things we learned. And also today we get to go out there and watch. So what are we most interested in watching? What did we find out yesterday? Titans OTA talk coming up next. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rexro is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexro, Joe Rexro, Adam Ving, and Nick Frazier. And this is going to be some time in the sun today, Adam. I mean, this is kind of an extensive day here with the Titans. I never remember, year to year how this differs. I mean, I think back to some other OTAs of the past. I think back to the rookie minicamp that came back of 2016 when Derrick Henry messed up the bags and Kaharski tweeted, "Look at this video, Derrick Henry. I know what he's doing, everybody." And then people freaked out.
It's actually not a bad Paul.
You think
impression.
So? Yeah. I overdo the New York part of it.
But, sometimes you sound a little like it's a little
someone
too,
from the Jerky Boys.
I was gonna say sometimes it's a little too Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
but if you dial back Pesci a little bit, it works, I think.
But see, I'm not actually trying to sound like him. I'm actually because I know that this annoys him. So I'm actually going way overboard to annoy Paul Kaharski. But some of the other things that I remember from OTAs over the years. Well, let's see. We had the Julio OTA of 2 years ago. Oh man. He just was cooking people out there. It was like, oh my gosh. Wait, I'm trying to think. Actually,
and then what happened?
Maybe they hadn't made the Hula. Maybe it wasn't OTA. It might have been the mini camp in June. It was a mini camp. But regardless,
yeah, I believe it was a mini camp.
Yeah. But regardless, I mean, it's spring. You know, it's the spring sessions. Yeah, exactly. And then what happened? I mean, the excitement over Julio a couple years ago, off the charts. Remember a terrible injury that, you know, got Jack Conklin into the starting group as a rookie also. because, you know, Jack Conklin, first round pick, number 8 pick, did not start with the ones. That's worth keeping in mind today with Peter Skronsky. Now, Peter Skronsky probably is with the ones today, but he's one of the guys that I'm very interested, of course, in watching where he lines up, of course. It's not like you're going to get a great sense for, you know, someone as an offensive lineman until really, well, I suppose preseason football, if they let him play a couple series, but really not until actual game time. But today we are getting both coordinators. So, you know, Tim Kelly, again, he did talk in Indy. He'll talk again today. And, of course, Shane Bowen, the veteran now. You got practice, and the whole practice is open, which isn't always the case. Players available off the field, two at the podium, and then finally very well. I mean, you're talking about, like, almost 4 hours of OTA just enjoyment. You want to come out there with me? You have any interest? Want to pop out there? Yeah. Let me think about that for a minute. Yeah.
It gets really hot out there, man. I know it's May, so we're not talking like training camp heat in late July, early August. But you know, I in my times out there,
it won't
be
too bad.
In my times out there over the years, I always enjoy like the how each person who's out there has their own way of trying to stay cool. They have their own uniforms. I'm talking about reporters.
Yeah. Yeah. Glennon
in his bucket hat.
Right, bucket hat and, like, the long sleeves. But yes. It's like, what are they, thermal? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Glennon is, hey, good for him. Very attentive to, you know, sun protection. I've gotten a lot better about that, too. That's a big problem.
I don't have hair on my head anymore, so got to lather up that sunscreen on the top of
That's
my dome.
Right. And yep, absolutely. Got the hat, too. So, okay, the big things. First of all, let's talk about yesterday. The Titans gave some tweets. So, you know, the Titans gave you a little taste of what's going on. One big thing, of course, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is at OTAs. I'm quite sure he was not there last year and has not been there, you know, every single year. But there's Derrick Henry. And, of course, you got this tweet from the official Titans account. It says, you love to see it. You got Derrick Henry and Jeffrey Simmons right next to each other. I believe Jeffrey Simmons also was not there last year. Different situation, of course, with Jeffrey Simmons and his, you know, his contract. So, as I'm seeing these tweets of who's there, and you got, you know, some other, you know, various guys that they show. You got Chick Okonkwo in one of these things. You know, Tannehill, a bunch of guys. There's one person I don't see. And I think he would absolutely be tweeted if he was there, and that's 31. That's Kevin Byard. So we will, you know, that's an obvious storyline today is Kevin Byard. Is Kevin Byard there? I'm guessing not because I don't think there's any way the Tennessee Titans don't rush to Twitter to tweet that number 31's there based on all that happened this offseason. Rand Carthon has acknowledged that they asked him for a pay cut. He also, you know, Rand Carthon has pretty strongly refuted Jared's report, you know, that Byard asked to be traded, if I'm quoting that correctly. But he acknowledged the pay cut. And so if Byard's not there today, it's questions for, you know, for Vrabel about that. What does it mean? Is it a big problem? I wouldn't say it's some huge deal if he's not at OTAs. I think it's a little, to me, I would take it. You tell me if you disagree. I mean, I would take it as a little bit of a, okay, well, here's part of the, you know, here's part of the response. And frankly, if I'm Kevin Byard, given all that's taken place and all that has played out in public without me actually talking about it, I'm not like super excited about coming to this and being asked questions about it. Obviously, at some point, he's going to be asked questions about it. When he's at mandatory minicamp, that'll happen. But I think probably more than anything, if he's not there today, it's related to being asked for a pay cut.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I would take it. And as you said, if Kevin Byard wants to avoid answering those questions, he's going to do so as long as he wants, which is until mandatory minicamp. Which is when? When is
the? I'll find that date, but it's usually in June. Yeah, I'll find.
So
that
a few weeks from now. What, you know? Yeah. I mean, he could think about it as, hey, I've got to face the music at some point. Might as well get it out of the way. And be a good teammate. But yeah, honestly, as I had mentioned to you at the end of yesterday's show, I had almost forgotten about it with everything that's happened since then, the draft specifically. I had forgotten about the Kevin Byard pay cut story. But when you ask one of the heart and soul players of your organization, local kid, to take a pay cut after having, a really strong start to his career, that's hard for anybody to take, especially someone of Kevin Byard's stature. So I don't blame him at all for if his ego was a little bruised by that. But just based on what I've seen from Kevin Byard from afar, he seems like a stand-up guy. I don't think it's going to be something that, if his ego is bruised, totally get it. I don't think it's going to sour his relationship with the organization. Like, I don't think it's going to be a situation that becomes toxic.
No, I mean, I don't think so either. He's a pro. He's absolutely a stand-up guy. He's been one of the leaders of this team. I mean, look, Byard and Tannehill now for a few years really have been kind of the spokesman for this team.
Mm-hmm.
When things have gone on, Jeffrey Simmons has emerged as leader. Derrick Henry's a leader too, but really it's been Tannehill and Byard. And yeah, I don't think it's – I mean, look, Byard understands this league. I mean, he's been here a long time. I mean, you said start to his career, but, he's –
he's been a while. He's been
here
for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's the draft class of 2016. I mean, he's coming up on the twilight, but he's still an excellent player. I don't blame him one bit for quickly rejecting the idea of taking a pay cut. But I also don't think this is going to be something that lingers. I mean, he's been with Vrabel for a long time, and he wants to win as much as anybody in that building. So the thing is, I can guess people who might make a big deal. I mean, last year Jared made some huge, just screaming and crying about people missing OTAs. I mean, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where really it's continuity and everybody knows what they're doing. It doesn't mean much, man. It doesn't mean much at all for Kevin Byard to not be here for OTAs. He'll be there for training camp. He'll be there for mini camp. By the way, mini camp is June 6th through 8th, or at least the open portion. For us, I think that's the whole thing, though, June 6th through 8th. So, at the same time, it's a little bit uncomfortable for the Titans if he's not there today. And, we'll see what Vrabel says. But there's a lot more, of course, and we will get into that. The obvious position, and there's an NFL change, by the way, which makes things a little bit interesting at that position. We'll talk about that next. Robbie and Rex at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rex Road, Adam Vig, Nick Frazier, talking Titans OTAs today, Adam. And I think quarterbacks might be of some interest today. So you've got, obviously, Tannehill's out there. You're going to have Malik Willis, I think. I mean, certainly I would think that Malik Willis will be there. I did not see tweets about Malik Willis yesterday from the – I need the Titans official account to tweet every single player of possible interest the day before we come so that we know who all is there. But Malik Willis, Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill, and, of course, the comparisons. I mean, everybody's, of course, interested in Levis, how Levis looks. What are we going to see? What kind of stuff are we actually going to see out there to give us any indication? I mean, it's limited, but he's going to take some reps. And then, of course, Malik Willis. Malik Willis playing, are you going to be able to detect any improvement? I mean, you see how he throws the ball, see how he looks out there. And, of course, Malik Willis and what he has to say is of course, a big point of interest here, too. I mean, I think for most people, Malik Willis is an afterthought, and I get it. I mean, I don't think you move up in the second round if you feel about Malik Willis right now what we thought they'd feel about Malik Willis a year ago. But at the same time, doesn't mean that guy can't improve and can't be a totally different player. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind on Malik Willis and how he looks. That's going to be a lot of the attention today, obviously.
And the approval, as you teased, perfect tease.
Oh, yeah.
Leading into the break about the new rule that the NFL has implemented starting next season. you know, to use my hockey terms, it's the NFL equivalent of an emergency backup goaltender.
Yeah, it's the emergency third quarterback.
Yes.
Yep.
That doesn't e-bug. It does. What's the acronym for that? Emergency backup. I don't think you can say it.
Ebcub.
Yes.
Ebcub.
Doesn't roll off the tongue really like e-bug. But anyway, the fact that NFL teams will now be able to dress a third quarterback who can be deemed active if the first two quarterbacks who are actually active on game day are unavailable.
Yeah, and only unavailable because of injury or suspension or whatever. Like, you know, they can't play. It can't just be a coach decision to remove them from the game.
Right. So in this case, let's assume for the sake of this discussion that Will Levis is the backup quarterback. If Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis were to be injured in a game for the Titans would then have the choice, or they would have the choice to dress Malik Willis and have him go out there, which they would not have been able to do in the past. It was San Francisco last season that had this particular issue,
right?
Exactly. And that's what led to the change in the rule. And it really it seems like this has given Malik Willis, you know, new life, perhaps. If this rule had not been enacted, it would have been interesting to see if, assuming Will Levis, you know, were to beat him out for the backup position, where that would leave Malik Willis. But now it feels like he has more of a role on this team. Because you're
right.
Maybe. I mean, you're right. I've thought about Malik Willis less and less since the NFL draft, just because we saw last season his time on the field in the regular season was unimpressive relative to expectations. And the fact that they signed Josh Dobbs off the street, basically, and he started meaningful games over someone who had been in the program all season said a lot about where the Titans see Malik Willis, or at least saw Malik Willis last season.
As a rookie,
yes.
Yes.
As a, you know, I know that, you know, Malik Willis, to use the draft term, was quite raw, but it was not a good look for him that Josh Dobbs came in here and steadied that position when Ryan Tannehill was
sure.
Out.
Now, important point to make on this. So I think some people have misunderstood, and it was kind of bad. Like Rappaport's tweet about it is confusing. So he said it won't count. It doesn't count on your active players on game day. You still have to be on the 53. Now, you could make a case that it's worth keeping Willis on the 53 because of this rule. So, but you're still, I think a lot of people took this when it was initially reported as, oh, it doesn't count. It doesn't count on the 53. It counts on the 53. So for Malik Willis to be, or anyone to be, your emergency third quarterback, they have to be on your 53-man active roster.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth the Titans to give that spot to, and again, we're just making a bunch of presumptions here, which is, I think it's a safe presumption, Tannehill's a starter, but we're just presuming Will Levis is number two, Malik Willis is number three. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind. I think that's how it's going to work out. If it does work out that way, does Willis warrant a spot on the 53 so that he can be your emergency third quarterback? Now, that's where it doesn't count. It doesn't count on your active. You have the active 48, right? 48 on game day. He doesn't count on that. So, look, I think it's a good rule. But, again, is it still – like, if you have two healthy quarterbacks, if it's Tannehill and Levis, is it more valuable to use those other spots for other positions? Or do you – take away another corner, take away another edge, take away another offensive lineman so that Malik Willis can be your emergency quarterback?
That's a good question. I would love to know the probability of two quarterbacks being injured in the same game for the same team. I mean, I know it happened last season with the 49ers, was it Trey Lance and Brock Purdy?
Right.
So,
well, no.
Was it Trey Lance? No.
Jimmy G,
sorry. Lance was already injured.
Yeah.
Lance got hurt early.
Yeah, so it was Garoppolo and Purdy. But I would love to know what the percentage chance of that happening is, because if it's incredibly low that your starting quarterback and your backup quarterback would be injured and unavailable to come back into a game, you know, I would be less inclined to have that third player, that third quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, like, if Tannehill is playing, but let's say he's playing on like a bum ankle, like one of them's banged up, you know, that might be where you're like, okay, it's worth having that insurance. I'm trying to think of in the past. I remember Washington. Who the heck was the guy who had to be their emergency QB? Was it Brian Mitchell? Do I have that right? I think so. You know, you've seen some situations like that where two people get hurt. It's very rare. But to me, like, if both of your one and your two are both, like, totally healthy and there's no issues, I don't know. I don't know how much value there is in this. If Tannehill is, like, gutting it out, like he did, for example, when they played the Chargers last year. He goes out there, and he's kind of finally getting the ankle back, and then early on it's just, it's bad. He plays the whole game, by the way, which is an incredible performance by him. But, if he is banged up, then I guess I could see using this. But I don't know. I don't feel like this is going to be utilized too often by teams. I could be wrong.
To clarify, by the way, it was Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson in that game. So Purdy was injured. Josh Johnson came in, entered concussion protocol, and they had to put an injured Purdy back into the game.
And he couldn't throw. Right. I mean, basically, it's like he could have thrown like a 2-yard screen.
Right.
Know? Yeah. That was a mess. But yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's a violent game.
I would love if the NFL enacted something like the NHL. We talked about emergency backup goaltenders, because oftentimes those emergency backup goaltenders are, you know, local, you know, college, like D2 players who just happen to live in the area, who, you know, who can be there in a pinch, you know, or sometimes it's like guys that just play beer league, basically. Like, I would love the idea if two quarterbacks were to get hurt, and then like an announcement goes over the PA. Any quarterbacks available? Is there a quarterback in the house? Please report to the field.
And Keanu then Reeves shows up.
It's like, I play in a flag football league on the weekends.
You're in.
You know, that would be funny. But
Austin from Clarksville says they did tweet Malik's picture, so I missed that. I apologize. Okay,
Wade did not keep up on all of the pictures tweeted.
Yeah, Titans Twitter account very active. Still in the glow, the afterglow.
I was going to say they're still riding high from their excellent schedule video. I would like to say one thing. It's been a couple weeks since it came out, but I just want to say one thing as it relates to schedule videos.
Okay.
The reason why that one, the Titans one where they were doing the man on the street interviews on Broadway, worked so well is because it was a phone and a little teeny tiny microphone. This is almost like a Vingan rant here.
Yeah.
But the overproduced 10-minute schedule videos that come out with all the celebrity cameos, I could do without that. Like, we're not creating a short film here or a music
10
video.
Minute? Who, like, did that?
The Jaguars did a 8 to 10 minute schedule release video.
Oh God.
Like, I heard it was funny.
They're so extra.
I heard it was funny.
Todd from Jacksonville.
And then I went to look for it, and then I saw on the Twitter, you know, they have the time of the video down at the bottom. It was like 8:57. It's like, I'm not watching a 9-minute video about a schedule.
And it's just a bunch of people going, Duval! What are they doing?
I don't remember. But the point is, the reason why that Titans video was so great was because it was just so simple. Like, you know, these teams are trying to one-up each other with a schedule video, which I don't really understand, because we know the schedule in the sense that we know who they're playing. Like, if it'd be one thing if we had no idea who the opponents were on top of the dates, but it's just we need to know what order we're playing these teams in that we've known for 6 months.
Hey, man, don't question it. The NFL makes huge news out of everything.
Anyway.
I'll say this. You know, you say you don't get it. Hey, you know what? That's the most attention the Titans have had around the NFL, like, for a long time.
Because
of their social media team.
I'm praising that one right there. Like, but the one where they were at Robert's Western World, that they didn't, like, why do two? Just do the one.
Yeah. That's a good point. What was that? I started to watch that one. I'm like, this is not what I wanted to see. What are we doing here?
Yeah, the overproduced, like short film type schedule release ones. Like you don't need to do that.
Fair enough. Mini Vingan rant noted. And when we come back, Chuck has a good question about Malik Willis and his role. And there are other positions that actually matter today. Titans OTAs coming up next. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Again, jump in on the text or phone line if you want to get on the discussion. Driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans right now. Chuck has a question on that text line, and it is, does Willis have the ability to run scout, emulate the other team's offense? Yeah, I mean, that's typically the backup quarterback's job. So, yes, and he did that last year. If you have – if Malik Willis, let's say he's on the practice squad this year, then, you know, obviously he can do more of that stuff as well. But, again, the backup quarterback for a lot of NFL teams just does that stuff. If you got another quarterback on the practice squad, great. Now, you know, sometimes you react to skill set of the quarterback of the particular week, right? But, yeah, I mean, that could be part of his job. He could be on the practice squad this year. The Titans could cut him, and they could expose him on waivers. And it'd be very interesting if that were to happen. I mean, with this rule, does it increase the possibility that some other team out there would look at a Malik Willis and say, you know what, let's take a flyer on a third quarterback. He's young. There's ability there. Put him on the active roster, and then he can also be, you know, the emergency quarterback that doesn't count in the active player group on Sundays. So maybe there's a little less chance the Titans could cut him and get him back in the practice squad. I think if they cut him and he cleared waivers, I think they'd probably bring him back to the practice squad, would be my guess. And again, I'm just presuming that Malik Willis is just the clear number three. I'm trying to keep an open mind. I think everybody should keep an open mind because it is possible. Some people can't wrap their mind around people who are professional athletes improving dramatically, but it does happen.
I just want to say, this just reminds me of when I correctly predicted last summer, after the first preseason game, that Malik Willis would be the backup quarterback instead of Logan Woodside.
Oh.
You remember that?
I think I do kind of remember that. Yeah, I was kind of bullish on Logan Woodside still going to be QB2. And by the way, I think you could go back and good job on your part.
Yeah.
But I think I was right that it should have been Logan Woodside. As limited as he is,
yes.
Malik Willis is not ready to be ready to play football in the NFL last year.
Malik doesn't matter how it transpired.
Not ready to quarterback a team.
It doesn't matter how it transpired. It only matters that I was right originally. That's how this works.
And, you know, you were right. And if you were wrong, that's what's really interesting. If you were wrong and no one had ever seen Malik Willis play last year. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, what would that mean to the Titans? What would that have meant in the draft? I mean, I don't know. But there'd be a totally different discussion around Malik Willis, right?
Oh, sure.
And this is why rookie quarterbacks ideally never play, but especially a rookie quarterback who comes from like a Hugh Freeze offense, for example. I mean, it's so spoon-fed. It's so read one half of the field, look over every time for the call. You've got quarterbacks who are not close to ready. So,
how many quarterbacks who are a product of a Hugh Freeze team have been successful? Like highly successful at the NFL.
I think that's a big zero.
Yeah, I don't think I can recollect any ideas there. All I can think of is Jordan Ta'amu, who plays in the XFL, but that's not the NFL.
Right. I mean, he's had some offenses with huge numbers that have – I mean, you think about what they did to Alabama a few years ago when Hugh Freeze was there with that offense, but he does not produce NFL quarterbacks, at least not yet. So, and we'll see, you know, if he does now in his new job. But if Willis never played, it would be – because right now everybody's just completely dismissed him because of a guy who wasn't ready to play. And I think this is a fair criticism of the Titans for making him QB2. There are other positions, Adam. I'm interested in certainly just watching the receivers, right? I'm interested in, of course – I mean, I think Treylon Burks is one of the most interesting people today. How does 16 look out there? You know, he looked in good shape last week when he talked to us. The stuff he was talking about was, I think, very encouraging. How does he look? Is there a different level of confidence command out there? You know, the receivers and DBs. I mean, look, what happens in all these things before you're playing real football? Skoronski is very interesting, of course, right? Where's Skoronski? Where's Dillard? All that stuff. But you're not getting actual football in the trenches. You are. You can. It's, you know, you can still look at the 7-on-7 aspect of this and get something. You can watch DBs and receivers go at each other. So, interested in, you know, Sean Murphy bunting and the DBs, and then just like Kyle Phillips, I think, is a high level of interest today. I did see a picture of him. Looked like he's, you know, put on some weight, which is good. He needed to. He needs to be able to stay healthy. And to me, he needs to be a big part of this offense. So that, to me, you know, the receivers, you know, Chigakonkwo, the rookies, of course, Dowell, Wiley, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, those are, you're going to see more football that actually relates to what they'll do when they play actual football than what the big guys are doing.
Yeah, and Treylon Burks talked a big game. I mean, not that he didn't deserve to talk that big game in his own mind in terms of getting ready for training camp, for mini camp, for OTAs. Like I said yesterday with Corey Curtis, at this time last year we were scouring the allergy reports every week to see what the pollen count was, to see if Treylon Burks would be on the field. But
yes, good old pollen counts last year.
Yes, we don't have to worry about that this year, presumably, based on what Treylon Burks said. But, you know, yesterday the FPI, the Football Power Index, came out by ESPN, their analytic model that, you know, gives us a sense of where they think the teams are going to be. And I think the Titans were 28th. And I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty just because I don't completely understand their model. But the ranking that they get is based off of this, you know, it takes their, you know, their offense, their defense, and their special teams, and it combines into that number. I think it was like -3.5 for the Titans.
So it's almost like EPA, expected points added,
right? So of that -3.5 for the Titans, the offense was responsible for -2.7. Like, they think, the ESPN model thinks that the Titans offense is going to be one of the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And the teams behind them are teams that either have rookie quarterbacks like Houston, like Indianapolis, or, you know, veteran, for lack of a better term, has-been quarterbacks like Tampa Bay, or Washington. Well, I guess they don't have a – it's not – you know, Sam Howell is just untested.
They've got a, hey, stink it up so we can go get Caleb Williams quarterback.
Right. So and I know a lot of that probably has to do with Ryan Tannehill, but, you know, the fact that from afar – other than Treylon Burks, people don't know who is going to be catching the ball for the Tennessee Titans. So it's important that he plays well, Burks, that is, because you want him to become that, you know, that steady number one receiver. But to me, it's who's number two, number three, number four. That's what I would be looking at.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, and that's where Phillips. Look, we know Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We know what he is, and he's going to be a, you know, key player for this team this year, but. Burks, his improvement year one to year two. Phillips, his improvement. Dowell, does he look like a guy who actually could go out there and play? I mean, McMath, to me, is really interesting. Racy McMath, I think it's a big year for him. Chuck says, or Ty says, if Malik shows a marked improvement from last season, you have to keep him. You can't practice squad him and expect to keep him. Too much potential. You may be right. Again, maybe this rule change prompts another team out there to be a little bit more interested. Again, he still has to take up a spot in the 53. And you can still make the case, there's too much going on in the 53 to do that. But I think you may be right. Wes in Clarksville says, Josh Allen wasn't good when he was a rookie. Malik looked bad, but he had no receivers, bad O-line, crappy coordinator. Yeah, no, look, I understand all that. But, I mean, if you could still look at the contrast between, obviously, Tannehill and Malik. But even if you look at the contrast between Joshua Dobbs and Malik. He had the same no receivers, bad O-line, same coordinator. He comes in cold and is like, okay, looks like a quarterback who can run an NFL offense. So, like, again, he wasn't ready.
Had him close to winning a play, winning in playoff game, winning into the playoffs game.
Right.
Josh Jobs.
Yeah, no, he had him really a play away from winning the division.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Josh Allen, I agree. Josh Allen is a great example of probably one of the prime examples of someone in this league appearing to improve dramatically at the most important parts of the most important position. So now I think he may end up being a little bit of an outlier, but he serves as a great example. I mean, I think Josh Allen is a big reason why an Anthony Richardson goes number four this year, because it's like, if you have that much ability, even if right now it's not refined, sometimes you just have to go ahead and do that. And this unnamed texter said, quote, "I'd rather watch the AHL playoffs." Hey, I'm glad we almost got through an hour.
I was going to
say,
can we get through an entire show without mentioning the Milwaukee Admirals? Jared did two segments on the Admirals yesterday. Two.
Wow. And what, he thought you said the play-by-play guy was ripping him? What is he talking about?
So yesterday we were talking about the reaction to Jared's take on the Admirals, and I said that the play-by-play of the game on Twitter, and maybe I wasn't clear enough, obviously, but the play-by-play on Twitter ramped up purposely because people wanted to annoy Jared.
Oh, yeah,
or stick
yeah.
It to
I remember
Jared.
You saying that.
But he thought
he took that
I
as
meant that
saying the play-by-play announcer
Aaron
was ripping
Sims,
him?
Aaron Sims, who is the Admiral's radio play-by-play voice, was sticking it to Jared in his play-by-play. And he actually, like, listened to two of the goal calls to see if he said something bad or alluded
my
to Jared.
God. Quit being such a narcissist, Jared. Yes. Jeez, unbelievable.
I was driving Arlo to the playground when I heard that. I was like, what is he talking about? So I had to go back. And while Arlo was climbing the jungle gym, I was listening to the podcast of our third hour yesterday, being like, what did I say that made Jared think that? And I found it quickly, at least.
Jared pulling you away from quality family yes. time. Very sad. All right, when we come back, we got Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. We're going to talk more Titans OTAs, but also go around the AFC South. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 of the game.